one of the things that he was particularly interested in, particularly because it was becoming ever harder, you know, it was being kind of, you know, it was dying out, it was being suppressed, and because it was also not particularly visible to men, certainly not European men, and not even to Fijian men generally, was the practice of kia or vaikia. I'm sure I'm pronouncing that incorrectly, but Q-I-A or V-E-I-Q-I-A, which is the practice, traditional practice of tattooing Fijian women as a kind of rite of passage. And as we'll get into, von Hugel wasn't able to observe the practice directly because it was taboo for men to observe it. But he did strike up good relationships with young women who'd had this done and with the older women who were the practitioners, and they described the practice to him. They drew some of their designs that would normally be hidden, and they also showed him how the tattoo practice worked. And one of those women was this woman, Adi Lebeleba, who we will come to in more detail. So this practice, you know, like a lot of indigenous tattoo practices, is like intricately, intimately bound up with a huge amount of complex cultural, social, religious, spiritual, gender, identity-based formation, again, which I'm not in detail qualified to give you expert answers on. But I will take here, I will quote some pieces from Karen Jacobs. Her book, by the way, right, as I said, is called This Is Not a Grass Skirt. And the reason the book's called that is because actually this practice of kia, and the reason why it is not usually visible to anyone, certainly not to visiting European men, is that it's would usually be hidden away, covered up by what Europeans mistakenly called a grass skirt, actually a fibrous skirt called a liku. And liku and vaikia go sort of hand in hand. They're part of the same set of ritual and cultural belief practices, where once the kia, once the tattooing is done, it would be covered, it would be shrouded by the wearing of the liku, by the wearing of the skirt. So, again, I'm going to quote here from Karen Jacobs. So, this is from Jacobs. Before puberty, young girls were not required to wear a liku. If they wore any clothing, they opted for a small liku ni gore, child's liku, made of shredded vau, hibiscus fiber, that left the buttocks bare, or a more ephemeral type that they made themselves of leaves or feathers. When a young woman reached puberty, she was dressed in her first proper liku after receiving her vaikia, her tattooing. There was a close connection between liku and vaikia in the process of gendering a female body, as much as there was a correlation between male circumcision and wearing the malo, a male loincloth, which similarly occurred around the time of puberty. After circumcision, young men were entitled to wear the malo, a long strip of mussy bark cloth that passed between the legs, wound round hips, and knotted at the front. Joseph Abebe Tubi noted in Yalatina, which is a city or a town in Fiji, when an old woman saw a girl growing up, she would say to her, "It's time you were tattooed before you grow old. It's better to get it done whilst you still are young and your body is supple." In 1934, an observer called Nurse Suckling was told that a girl received her vaikia soon after her first menstruation if she was strong enough. If not, she'd receive it after her parents had selected a husband for her. Nevertheless, a set of restrictions and proscriptions had to be followed, which varied in different regions and the different timeframes during which information was collected. Then she goes on to say, "The tattooing itself took place in remote locations, in a vacant house or the mouth of a cave near the exit to make the most of the light, or in the Vali Nevi Vecchia, a special shelter on the outskirts of the village." I guess like kind of a, you know, a kind of tattoo studio, we might call it, I suppose. It was a strictly female business. The vaikia was applied by a mature specialist woman referred to as a dalbati, bati meaning tooth, referring to the tattooing tool. Dalvikia, Dalvesal, or Matanikia. Matai and Dal can both be translated as expert or specialist. One informant notes that in the hills of Vitilevu, quote, the Lewa Vuku, the wise woman, a term also used for a midwife, collaborated with the Lewa Dalbati, the woman operator. Other sources mention three operators, two to hold the young woman, while the third marks her body. We'll get into more into the process with more quotes in a second, but basically the vaikia is this series of patterns then tattooed at the top of the hips and around the kind of pubic area in order to mark the coming or the kind of arrival of womanhood, right? The patterns themselves, again, there's an amazing website, which we'll also link to, which is called the Vaikia Project, which is actually a project put together by women in Fiji who are reclaiming and recovering and reproducing this practice. Since 2015, they've been kind of properly researching the practice. They put together a whole bibliography about this. There are interviews, there are drawings. There are images taken from these historical sources, which you can look at. But you can see there this kind of series of like kind of dotted, dashed patterns made with tools that are single or multi-spined with combs, and they decorate the kind of upper thighs of young women. There are other tattoo practices in the region. Tribal groupings, cultural groupings in Fiji tattooed the mouth and tattooed the arms as well. But the most important of these is this practice of the vaikia, the tattooing of the buttocks, the pubic area, with this series of designs. So von Hugel, right, was, as I said, kind of documenting this, and he'd been basically traveling the whole island in order to try and record as much of this practice as possible. Tattooing had been made illegal under colonial occupation. It was punishable by a 10 shilling fine. But of course, it was still common. It was still occurring. His notebooks, which you can see, or which are in the archives, I have seen at least. I don't know if they're on display, which are on display occasionally at the Museum of Anthropology in Cambridge. Have these drawings and records that he made of tattooing. He also, as I said, noted facial tattooing. He noted marks on upper arms, on legs. Much of the symbology of which was kind of unclear to him. He noted that they resembled often birds and turtles. Sometimes they resembled palms, flowers, canoes, baskets, water bottles. He speculated as well that some of these may have been kind of medical in nature or intent. They were tattooed around leprosy sores. Others perhaps suggested kind of status or familial association. Men, as I said, generally not tattooed at all, although we'll come to some examples counter to that in a second because they're important. Many, I said in my book, seem to him linked to women's menstruation. Though women were unwilling to show him directly, he was able to record extensive intimate stomach and pubic tattooing called vaikia through drawings provided by him to him by female tattooers whose trust he'd gained, one of whom he rather unkindly describes as an old hag, the tattooic artist of the place. The rituals, again, quoting myself, surrounding vaikia were shocking to missionaries. The practice results in extensive tattoo marks around the thighs, buttocks, and genitals, and was a central component of Fijian girls' puberty rites. It was undertaken in remote locations as part of a complex ceremonial medicinal process, usually shortly after a girl's first menstruation. The process, again, quoting from Jacobs here, she says, women were tattooed using a batinkia, an adze-like tool consisting of a gasu reed handle in which one or more thorns of a lemon tree or the comb of a turtle shell or bone were lashed with coir strands. In some instances, barracuda or shark teeth, a number of socky porcupine fish spines, rat's teeth, or sewing pins were used. The batin kia was tapped with a small light stick or a small mallet made of light wood, and in some hill districts, mallets were made of vasili wood, and others, hibiscus wood was used.